Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston. Bread for the
Broken. We're on the same team. So endure whatever hardship or persecution you might be experiencing right now, because you don't know how it's going to pay off down the road. So remain steadfast. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He knows how to get us through these difficult times, but he also, in the midst of getting us through difficult times, he's working in and through us for what's to come.
If you look at the lives of the apostles and the other early church leaders, they didn't have it very easy. They faced a lot of hardship, from the difficulty of life on the road to the direct persecution of those who hated Christians. They weren't perfect, but through the Holy Spirit, they carried on for the gospel. In today's message, Pastor James will encourage us to follow their example. Your perseverance and faith in the face of suffering could be just what someone needs to push them closer to God. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 21 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some bread to the broken. We need hope for the hopeless. Give some hope to the hopeless, hopeless. Bread for the broken, broken.
You don't want a farewell party if you're just a normal sailor, kind of living a wild life. So this would have been interesting for them to witness all these families coming and seeing them off. But it's just a display of, it really is just a display of what true biblical Christianity should look like. When someone needs to leave, we can celebrate that. We should celebrate that. When it's time for somebody to move on, we should celebrate that. It shouldn't cause problems. But unfortunately, and even in the church back then, splits and all that stuff and people leaving, it's celebrated in a whole nother way, right? You're like, praise God, they're gone, right? You know, but it's not always what we want. What we want is like, so-and-so was here from this time, but now the Lord's calling them on, and we're going to celebrate the fact that God is moving them on to somewhere else. Ideally, that's what you want, okay? Doesn't always work out that way. So they're sent off. Verse 7, the next stop after leaving Tyre was Ptolemais, if that's how you say that, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed for one day. The next day we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. This is way back in Acts. Acts chapter, what is that, 8? 7? 8? 8, I believe. He had four unmarried daughters, or four virgin daughters, who had the gift of prophecy. So they were prophetesses. This is really cool, right? Because this is a real thing. You're looking like, no, only men in church can do this stuff. That's not true. That's kind of dumb. That's not really biblical. If you grew up in a church like that, I'm sorry, but you weren't taught the right way. Women can actually serve in a church. I don't know if you guys know that. Deaconesses? Yeah, that's a real thing. It's actually a biblical thing. Women having the gift of prophecy, that's a real thing. It's a real thing. I know sometimes, especially in the South, we grow up with this mentality of like, no, it's only like men and all this stuff. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. And I don't want to step on any toes here or anything like that, but I'm just saying, we should really read our Bibles. We should just read our Bibles. Because women, you receive gifts of the Holy Spirit as well, and you're expected to use those gifts. That's an amazing thing. This is the best thing about Jesus. He looks at men and women, and he's like, hey, there's neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile, no male nor female. You're a Christian, right? There's not like any of the stuff that we're dealing with right now, but it's like you're valuable. You're just as valuable to the body of Christ as any dude. That should be an encouragement. I always love these little bitty, you know, parts that get dropped here and there. Here's Philip with four daughters four daughters all have the gift of prophecy. They're prophetesses. That's amazing. That's a cool thing. Praise God for Philip. Philip's just a rad dude. I don't know if you know anything about this guy, but here's the funny thing about Philip. So here's Paul. Let me just paint the scene for you, okay? So they show up in the city. They're in Caesarea, which is not too far from Jerusalem. It's about 60 miles or so. And he's staying at Philip's house. Now, so you know, so here's Philip in his house. He gets a knock on the door, maybe, opens the door. There's Paul. Well, last time Philip had any interactions, he wasn't Paul, he was Saul. See, the reason why Philip is in Caesarea is because of Saul persecuting the church. That's why he left Jerusalem. It's because this crazy dude and this persecution broke out in Jerusalem, and the Spirit, and that was the Spirit's way of moving the church. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the all ends of the earth. Well, the church was comfortable, and they liked Jerusalem, and so the Holy Spirit's like, well, then we'll just turn up the fire. We'll inject some persecution to get you guys moving. Hey, that's a good word for us today. Church has become way too comfortable. Way too comfortable. So if we need anything, we might need a little bit, the fire turned up a little bit, so we go and do what we're supposed to do. Quit being comfortable. There's a mission. Remember the race? It's the great fulfilling the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That's it. Not go and build churches. He never said that. He never said that. He said, go make disciples. So go make disciples. Well, we don't like to because we like staying comfortable. And he's like, okay, well, then I'll turn up the fire. And praise God for when he does that. You may be like, no, 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 no mas, no mas. And he's like, no. He's like, you need to go. Why? Because you need to be a Philip. We need to be just like Philip. Philip is going to go. He has these really cool encounters. He gets to share the gospel in Samaria, which is off limits to good, respectable Jews. You don't go into Samaria, right? You just don't. We don't talk to those people, right? We don't interact with those people. Well, the Spirit had led Philip to share the gospel in Samaria, and we know that Jesus had already planted many seeds in Samaria because he was like, I don't care what you say. I don't have to be a good religious person. I'm Jesus, and I'm going to go into Samaria because that's where the lost people are, right? And religion's like, no, 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 we don't. Jesus is like, I'm not about religion. Surprise, surprise, Jesus is not about religion. He's about relationship. And he'll go anywhere to get anyone, to save anyone. Philip gets to go into Samaria. He gets to be an evangelist there. But he also has this really cool encounter with this Ethiopian eunuch who has been in Jerusalem, probably celebrating at the feast and all that good stuff. And the Spirit compelled Philip to run up to this guy's chariot. This is how we know he's connected. I mean, he's got money. He's at least works for somebody who has a lot of money, because not just anybody had chariots back then, right? So the Lord puts it on Philip's heart to go and run up, literally run up alongside this chariot. And Philip does. He runs him down. And then he asks him, he's like, what are you reading? And he happens to be reading through Isaiah. And the guy's like, man, but how can I understand this if I don't get this or understand this if I don't have anybody explain it to me? And then that opened the door for Philip to use this gift of evangelism. This Ethiopian eunuch who he's going to be going back to Africa. So you got this guy, more than likely, he's African, and he gets saved, and they just so happen to find water on the side of the road. And the Ethiopian eunuch's like, hey, well, what's preventing me from getting baptized? He gave his life to the Lord. He's like, I want to get baptized. So Philip dunks that guy. He gets baptized, and Philip's gone. He's just gone. Like, disappears. He gets transported from there, where he was at, on that road south, and then that's when he gets dropped into Samaria, just kind of like raptured, so to speak. And this Ethiopian eunuch's like, well, that was weird. Hops back in his chariot, goes back to Ethiopia, and does what? Probably shares the gospel. More than likely, we don't know, this is speculation, but his family probably, or what? He probably didn't have a family. I think you understand eunuchs, right? But co-workers, work family, you know, all that good stuff. More than likely, he's sharing the gospel with those guys. And the gospel goes to Africa as Philip goes to Samaria. Beautiful. This is Philip. This is who, and he was chosen. He full of the Holy Spirit. He was chosen early in the book of Acts to serve tables, so to speak. He was a deacon because the needs were too many, and everybody kept going to, you know, the apostles, and they had all the demands, and we got the Greeks over here, and they're not being taken care of like they should be, and we're paying more attention to the Jewish widows and all this stuff. Well, they established deacons who were meant to serve the needs of the body. That's what a deacon should be. A deacon's not just some cool little pin you get to stick on your shirt, you know, as you greet people and like, hey, deacon, big deal, right? That means you're a servant. That's all that means, okay? Any church hierarchy systems, that's just nonsense. A deacon is a servant, and it could be a man, it could be a woman. Deacons and deaconesses. If you want a title, then take on the title of servant, right? If you want a title, you could show up to Calvary Galveston, and you're like, I want people to know me. Well, then they should know you for being a servant. That's it. There you go. If you need me to call you deacon, I probably won't, but I would just be a servant. Do the work of a deacon or a deaconess, and let God get the glory. That's it. But this is Philip. He was one of those guys, and now here he is, and there's the Apostle Paul, and he's like, come on in. See, and then it was Paul or Saul's persecution and hatred towards the church that drove out these guys. And because of that persecution, Philip got to lead that Ethiopian guy to the Lord. And then because of that persecution, he got to go to Samaria, and he got to lead multiple people to the Lord there. And then he ends up in Caesarea, settles down there, so to speak. He's probably serving there within the small churches there. He has a family. He's got four daughters. He's shown the Lord to these four daughters. Now, obviously, these four daughters love the Lord, and God has given them the gift of prophecy. But would he have ended up in Caesarea without the persecution? I don't know. But the persecution got him there. So maybe the difficult moments and difficult seasons in your life are actually for a reason, to get you to Caesarea, to get you somewhere down the road that you can't even imagine what it's going to be like today, but God is working in your life to get you to where he wants you to be so that your former enemy knocks on your door and says, hey, can I crash at your place for a while? And you say, absolutely, because we're not enemies. We're brothers now. We're on the same team. So endure whatever hardship or persecution you might be experiencing right now, because you don't know how it's going to pay off down the road. So remain steadfast. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He knows how to get us through these difficult times, but he also, in the midst of getting us through difficult times, he's working in and through us for what's to come. Philip and Paul were enemies, bitter enemies. Philip's, one of his best friends died while Paul or Saul watched it. He was cheering them on as they were throwing rocks at Stephen. He was holding their coats as Philip's, one of his best friends, is dying. And then this many years down the road, 20 or so years down the road, Philip is welcoming Paul into his house simply because of Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful story? It absolutely is. Isn't it great what Jesus can do in each and every one of our lives? Somebody may have hurt you this many years ago, and the Lord can work on you, and the Lord can work on that person, and then maybe down the road, the Lord, your paths cross, even if it's only for a moment, but your paths can cross. And you can say, man, thank you, Jesus, for saving me and for transforming me. And you are the freest person on this planet if you can run with that kind of mentality. You are absolutely the freest person on this planet, and nobody can steal that freedom from you. Nobody can. The freedom just walk freely. I'm not holding bitterness towards anybody. I'm not holding any grudges towards anybody. I, like you, have experienced many hardships within this life. I've had people in my life, supposed to be the closest ones to you, to greatly disappoint you. I know what that feels like. But I also know what it feels like to carry the bitterness and the hatred for so many years because of that, and how that kills me. Me. It does nothing to them. They never feel the effects of that, except for maybe distance. But then I praised God that I also know what it feels like to surrender that, to own it for my part, to repent of it for the bitterness that I held on to and the hatred that I held on to and the unforgiveness that I held on to, and what it's like just to surrender that to Jesus. You are the freest person on the planet when you do that. And I don't care where you live on this globe, nobody can steal that from you. Nobody can. That's really the freedom that we need to be pursuing more than anything else. It's the freedom from bitterness, and the freedom from hatred, and the freedom from all that stuff. Inwardly first. And it, again, we talk about this all the time, but man, that's that vertical. That's between you and Jesus, and you're staying focused on him and him doing this work in your life and freeing you and all this stuff. And then the natural overflow of that is just this horizontal into your closest relationships. Keep this good. The vertical. You and him. Keep this strong. Even when you don't feel like it, you just keep going back to him. You keep going back to him, and you keep throwing stuff at his feet. What do you say, 1 Peter 5:7? Cast all your cares, all your concerns, all your anxieties. You can incorporate anything else in there, all your bitterness, all your envy, all your jealousy, all your hatred. You cast all of that onto him. Why? Because he cares about you. Just keep giving it to him. Keep giving it to him. Why? Because in Galatians, he told us, Galatians chapter 5, we talked about this a little bit last week. It's for freedom that you have been set free. Walk in that freedom. Conduct your life. Live your life as a freed person. As a freed person. This is kind of what's happening here, is you have Philip, who's part of that first church, and then you have Paul, who used to be Saul, the guy who hated the church, and he shows up at his door, and they're no longer enemies, they're brothers. They're brothers, and only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. So if you find yourself in a spot right now where you're like, man, if they showed up at my door, I don't know if I could let them in, or if I went to their door, I don't know if they'd let me in. Here's what I would ask you to do. Just surrender that to Jesus. Place it at his feet and say, Lord, I care about so-and-so. But I can't do anything about this situation. So I need you to act on instead. I can't say the words. Can you speak to them? They won't even give me the time of the day, but Lord, can you meet with them? Because what I want more than anything else is this thing back. Will it happen? I don't know. I don't know. My story with my dad, that never happened. He passed away. Just a year ago, he passed away before I had that chance to go to him and say, hey, look, I don't hold anything against you. It's all forgiven. It's all forgiven. I hold no grudges towards you. I've lived for 10 years now free. I never got the chance to tell him that. So sometimes that doesn't happen, but I'm still a free man. I'm still a free individual. And I trust that the Lord knows how to do things that I'll never be able to do. I'll never be able to comprehend. He knows how to move in people's lives, and he doesn't even have to let me know about it because that's his business. So maybe he was doing something in my dad's life apart from me. I don't know. But I know that God is in control and God is just, and I trust him above my intellect and all that stuff. Paul, Philip, it's just amazing that these two get to hang out together and here, just to kind of wrap this up, because we're running out of time. Here's an interesting thing, verse 10. I'm only in verse 10. That just clicked in my brain. I'm like, I'm only in verse 10. This is crazy. All right. Several days later, a man named Agabus, who is no stranger to Paul, they've already met before. I think it was Acts 15, where they got together because there was a famine going on in Jerusalem, and they kind of worked together to send a relief package there. So Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived in Judea. He came over, took Paul's belt, which seems weird, and bound his own hands and feet with it. Again, weird, right? Like, this prophet just shows up. This is like Old Testament style here. He shows up, everybody's kind of hanging out and, enjoying some nosh or whatever, and you're just like, this guy shows up and he's like, hey, Paul, can I borrow your belt real fast? And like, number one, I'd be like, what? Why? Like, no, I'm not taking my belt off because that's just really weird. But he's like, I need your belt, takes his belt, and I don't even know how he does this. My brain has been like just spinning like crazy. Like, how do you tie your own hands and feet together? Like, did he have an assistant? It doesn't matter, but this is just where my brain is like, how is he doing this? But he ties his hands and his feet together with Paul's belt. And again, this is very kind of symbolic in the sense of that Old Testament prophecy style, right? You think of like Ezekiel and some of the things he did, and Isaiah and some of the crazy things that he did. So he bounds himself, and then he says, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, now this is Luke including himself, when we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he said, why all this weeping? You're breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed in Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. When it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, we gave up. And here's the winner for all your arguments with your buddies. The Lord's will be done. There you go. That's your solution for all the people that you currently you're arguing with about this or that. Should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? Should we do this? Just let the Lord's will be done. The Lord's will be done. Then you're going to spend, who knows how long trying to figure out, well, then what is the Lord's will in this situation? Well, that's where you open up your Bible and you read and you pray and you ask him, like, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? And he's faithful. He'll let you know. But if there's like any like little things, and here's, it's just an innocent little thing, but they're like, no, we don't want you to go to Jerusalem because this is going to happen. Note that Agabus, as he's given this word from the Holy Spirit, never tells Paul, you can't go. Even in the Greek, the negative term is never used. It's not used at all. He says, this is just what's going to happen if you choose to go. And Paul's like, I already know that. I know that. And everybody's crying. Everybody's like, no, please don't go. We don't want you to get locked up. We don't want you to die. And Paul's like, dude, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. Because from Acts chapter 20, I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit. I need to get to Jerusalem. I don't know what it is. I don't know why, but I need to get to Jerusalem. And so here's the Spirit just giving him another heads up. Hey, here's what's awaiting you. But not so much for Paul, but for the other believers. I really think it was a word for the other believers. Okay? They couldn't persuade him, and so they were smart and said, you know what? Just let the Lord's will be done. Let the Lord's will be done. Because they weren't going to persuade him, and it didn't matter what he said to them. In one sense, it was like they weren't going to be persuaded either. And so they're just like, you know what? Paul, if you're going to go to Jerusalem, then we just pray that really is what the Lord is telling you to do. And you know what? Honestly, even if it wasn't what the Lord was telling them to do, Paul's like, I'm going to Jerusalem. Well, number one, I feel like that's where the God has told me to go, but I gotta get to Jerusalem. Right or wrong, I feel like I need to get to Jerusalem.
Hope, the hopeless, hopeless, pray for the broken.
You've been listening to another edition of Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. We're so glad that you joined us as we learned about the early church in the book of Acts together. What an incredibly powerful book of God's faithfulness. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear more teachings from Pastor James, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. While you're there, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Galveston. If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you visit. We meet each Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for worship and Bible study. Our atmosphere is pretty relaxed, so we invite you to come just as you are. For directions and to learn more about us, just visit breadforthebroken.com. We would also love to connect with you. Just drop us a note in the contact form to let us know if you've been blessed by this ministry. Would you also prayerfully consider partnering with us in this ministry? Support from people like you allows us to share the gospel in unique and amazing ways. If you'd like to donate, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Donations tab. Any and all donations are welcome and greatly appreciated. We thank you in advance for your generosity in partnering with what God is doing. Our website one more time is breadforthebroken.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but be sure to tune in again next time as Pastor James teaches more from the book of Acts right here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of humans, who I love best.